Jenny had a dream of joining the national bobsled team. She worked out relentlessly and knew that if she just refused to give up, one day her dream would come true and she'd stand triumphantly up on the podium. But when her kids reminded her that she was 52 and she lived in Texas, and maybe she started dreaming this dream a little late in life, she gave up on not giving up. But then she heard how Geico could save her money on car insurance, so she switched and achieved that dream instead.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot, oh my. It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Here's your host, paranormal researcher Patricia Baker, on the one, the only, Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of Supernatural Girls Radio. I am your host, Patricia Baker. I am here with my co-host, PK, all the way from Tucson. How you doing, PK?
Hot, melted, but okay. We just can't seem to get a break where it comes to the heat right now, but that's all right.
That's right. But come to New England, we were freezing yesterday. Oh. I had to turn the heat on, so... Jealous, jealous, jealous of your heat. What can I tell you?
We just can't get anything in balance. If I could have a little bit of yours with a little bit of ours, everything would be perfect.
I know. And at least we're not in Texas, those poor people, right?
Oh, dear God. Isn't that the truth?
They're getting our prayers. I mean,
blessings and prayers
prayer
for sure.
And everything. It's just horrible there. But we're hoping they'll be back on track very soon. And all of this water will recede. It's a mess down there. God bless them all, but we hope for the best for all of them. We've got a great show tonight, though.
Yes, we do.
We have an amazing guest, don't we?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he is. And he's written a terrific book that we've both read, Black Swan Ghosts. We're going to bring him on in just a few minutes.
Like this, so he
That's
knows
right.
it.
That's right.
Hello,
it's a great book.
Hey, guys.
So we're going to bring him on the show. We're going to talk about one of the most important issues in the paranormal world today, which is why we are so much under the gun, why these people in the paranormal, including us, are often treated so badly. We're going to go through all of this, what's happening. Dr. Hain is a sociologist, and he is renowned with this subject. He's also interviewed his own group of people that have had many experiences, and they're highly credible. We're going to get into it tonight with Dr. Hain, so stay tuned for that, everybody. But first, numbers. What's going on?
Well, I'm not going to even talk about the last couple days of September. I'm going to look at what's coming up in September, because September... our birth month, I should say, our personal month and the universal are identical as it's been. And it's all about major change. So we're all working with what the universe is talking about, which is me, my, and I. It's all about how we react to the number one. Everything is about starting over, new things, new issues, putting things, but it's about fresh, different, allowing the best of the best to take place around us. And regardless of what our personal month is, we're all going to still work off of what the universe says. I need to lead. I will be an example. I'll let these all begin. I'm going to have this article on my webpage on the patriciakirkman.com so they can read the whole article. But basically, take a look at, regardless of what your personal year is, this month will be identical to that entire year. The big zinger is going to come on the 9th, the 18th, and the 27th, because the year, the month, and the day will all be identical.
Oh, my God. So it's like a shake, rattle, and roll. Whammy.
Yeah, wow. It will be for a lot of us. And the one says we're sick and tired of doing it in group. We want to do it our way.
Okay.
And that gives us opportunity for a lot of special things to take place.
It sure does.
If we will allow it.
Okay. We're all for being special.
Yeah. Well, I think the most important part is get out with the information that you hold within you. Use it as a tool instead of, oh, I'll get to it later. There is no later. In 2 days, we are going to be in the one universal. But don't forget, we're still in retrograde until the 5th of September.
Yes.
And we have that shadow period that doesn't end until about the 15th.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Sometimes the shadow can kick our butt even more than the actual retrograde.
Well, let's hope not, because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Mercury retrograde already, so I need it to come to an end.
It has been a very rough road for everyone, because the actual month we're in right now is a review of last year's stuff on top of the retrograde. Now we're sliding into this year's stuff. So we're kind of getting like, it's kind of being caught between two doors, and we're going to get smacked in the middle.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, all right. So everybody knows what they got to do now. Thank you for your sage advice. Again, go to patriciakirkman.com if you'd like to read the full article about that. And if you'd like a private reading with Ms. Kirkman, that's where you can go, patriciakirkman.com, and get started in your universal year the right way. So, paranormal news. Found a very interesting article, which actually you've heard about this before, PK. Mm-hmm.
Right.
The Immortal Cells of Henrietta Lacks. It's a wild story. Now, all these stories are on our Facebook page.
Right.
So you can go there and read them and see the pictures, et cetera, as well as our last interview last week with Betty Andreas and Luca and Bob Luca, abductees and the focus of the very famous Andreasen affair. They've got a new book out called Lifting the Veil, and we were the first to interview them on our show. They were great guests. It was a great interview. It's on our Facebook page in case you missed it. Be sure to visit that. We'll be talking about Betty and Bob again tonight because they fit perfectly into this whole segment. But first, the mysterious immortal cells of this woman, Henrietta Lacks. Now, apparently, the story talks about how scientists could never get cells to live outside the human body when somebody passed away. That was the end of it. But for some reason, for some strange reason, this woman's cells lived. And they continue to live today, even though she passed away many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Scientists are still using her cells. Yeah. And what you were found out about it also, PK, was that they never, well, first of all, they didn't ask her permission. They just took cells.
Of course.
And second of all, they didn't reimburse the family, even though they've been using these cells for many, many years for scientific experimentation. So
and the family itself was very poor, humble beginnings. And they could have used it to help with their own health issues, any pittance that they would have been given. And they weren't even made privy to the fact that these cells were available and being used to reproduce numerous other things, which I think was kind of shoddy of our government, but who's to say.
I know, these scientists, what they think that they're entitled to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, you know, this continues today. It's a fascinating story. Read all the details on our Facebook page, and along with other stories like the haunted Canadian embassy. Great stories about the ambassador scared to death. So, sorry.
A few of them should be.
yeah, they should be. They should be. So anyway, so that's a great story. That's on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We've got all kinds of things on there that you should take a look at. Give us a like. Follow us on Facebook, everybody. Sign up for our newsletter, The Fringe Files, so that you don't miss anything, because we've got lots of great stuff coming up. Mm-hmm. But tonight, this is a very important subject, and we are so happy to have this guest with us tonight, Dr. Simeon Hain, because this has to be addressed. This is something that has not been addressed, except, I think, by Philip Slater. And we're going to find out when Dr. Hain comes on if there was anybody else. But sociologists, at least, seem to be on top of this, where other people have not been. So, anyways, we've got to find out what's going on in our society today that makes these things happen, that makes us put down UFO abductees, make fun of them, not take these subjects seriously. Right. Why? So, no further chatting from me. Let's bring Dr. Hain on the show. So, Simeon, welcome to the show.
Well, hey, guys. How you doing? It's Hine, by the way. Dr. Hine. Simeon.
Dr. Hine. Sorry about that. Hine.
You know, I got both you guys covered because, Patricia, you're in Massachusetts, right?
That's right.
And I used to go to Hampshire College in Amherst.
Ah, that's right.
And
yes.
Then I went to the University of Arizona in good old Tucson, where PK is in Arizona.
My house.
Oh, really? So yeah. I ended up in Boulder because I thought Tucson was a little too hot. This is why I'm in between Massachusetts and Arizona. How about that?
You found the perfect spot.
Workable.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Workable.
But I had a good time in Tucson. I just did it was a little too warm, you know. So anyway.
Yeah, it is warm.
I understand what both of you are talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
You get to be middle of the road instead. Good
middle of the road here. I like to be moderate. So.
Yes. That's right. Well, I wanted to start off, if I could, by reading this quote from Philip Slater and his book, The Wayward Gate. Now, this is the first book I have ever found that addressed this, and maybe you can enlighten us if there's any more, along with your great book. But Philip Slater was a fabulous sociologist, unfortunately passed away a few years ago, and he was famous for his book, The Pursuit of Loneliness. But his book, The Wayward Gate, is fascinating. It is science and the supernatural. And here's a quote from him. The purpose of this book is to persuade the ego in its own language to enlarge its repertory of experience, to rule more democratically, more wisely, more openly, more richly. I want to convince the despot that it's ill-informed, that its own desperate need to control has strangled its information channels, that the result of this anxious vigilance is the impoverishment of its own experience and of the whole kingdom, and that its understanding of the universe is wildly erroneous. That's Philip Slater. So,
yes, good quote.
Tell us, Simeon, what brought you to the door of the supernatural?
Yeah, I think it would be that quote from Philip Slater. I'm not familiar with that book, but I think he reflects it very well. I came across to these subjects from remote viewing, and I came into remote viewing almost straight out of graduate school. And then I was an assistant professor teaching statistics. So I was moving farther and farther away from these areas, right? Because you don't hear about this stuff in universities. I don't think I ever heard the word UFO, paranormal, anything like that mentioned in decades of school. Anywhere. Not at the University of Arizona, not at Hampshire College, not at Washington State. Nobody. This is not.
Nobody.
This is one of those, you know, as I call one of these social danger zones that you are afraid for your career. It's like a type of blackmail. And we live under this type of blackmail that if you get involved in these subjects, it's going to hurt your career. Your neighbors are going to think you're weird, whatever. So people don't study this. Now, I mean, that's what sociologists are supposed to do, is take these difficult subjects and see if they can make sense of them in some way. I mean, how are we, you know, sociologists look at, how do we attach meaning to our lives, our actions, our sense of identity, right? It varies from culture to culture, society to society. And this is one area where we don't want to talk about it. And I found that early on when I studied remote viewing with Dr. Courtney Brown at Emory University back in 1996, I heard him on a radio interview here in Boulder. And he was talking about this thing called remote viewing. And I have to tell both of you, I just, part of my mind couldn't believe it. I mean, the idea that we have this innate telepathic ability, I thought you had to be special or something. But there was a part of my mind that was curious at the same time. And I said to myself, well, I said to my ego mind, well, if you consider yourself to be an open-minded person, you should investigate this. I mean, maybe it turns out to be a hoax. Maybe it doesn't, but it's worthy to look at. I mean, no one had ever talked about remote viewing, let alone some sort of classified government program in psychic spies, right? In the Defense Intelligence Agency of all places. Yeah, so I went and took his class in, I believe it was May of 1996. And that's when all of this began, because it turned out remote viewing worked. I don't know if I wanted it to work, but it did. There was just no doubt about it. It wasn't like maybe this works, sort of this works. After a couple days, I did a few sessions. And for people don't know, I mean, you have a hidden target that you are supposed to describe in a given period of time, half an hour, an hour. And you don't see it ahead of time. So you're given no information about this target picture or location, whatever it is. It could even be written on a piece of paper. It's hidden in a folder. It's behind your back. You can't see it. And the monitor just tells you, describe the target. That's it. That's all you get. They may say at some point, tell us about colors. You know, they prompt you a little bit, but there's no information from them about what the target is. And I saw within a few days that it was too accurate to be by chance. That was my just personal subjective assessment of remote viewing. Is I came in as a mild skeptic, open to the idea it was possible, but I didn't think I'd be able to do it. And then it turned out to work. And then I wrote Opening Minds about it. So many years later. But that's how it all started. It started with my realization that if remote viewing was real, and this is quite a shock to your ego mind, to realize yes. that you have innate telepathic ability. No one ever prepared you for this. It's not – nobody told you about this anywhere in school. It was just considered to be part of the paranormal, so you didn't touch it, right? And it turned out to be real. I'm not the only one who thought it was real. The CIA concluded it was real. The DIA concluded it was real. They wouldn't have funded it for 20 years if they weren't getting results. And some of the
– Exactly.
People got results. Joe McMonagle got a Legion of Merit award from the military for his remote viewing. It says that on the plaque for 200 remote viewing sessions that he did that we don't know about because they're still classified for the most part. But that's what it says on the plaque. Now, they don't give a Legion. How many of those awards do they give out a year? A couple? I mean, it's rare. It's the highest military peacetime honor. And here, the number one remote viewer in the military program got it for remote viewing. It says that on the plaque. So people, it worked. Now it doesn't work every time, but sometimes it works in a way that's almost impossible to describe the accuracy. I mean, it's like the viewer is at the site, they're walking around. In some cases, they were able to read, go into, you know, super secret classified file cabinets and look into the contents from 3,000 miles away. It really scared the heck out of the U.S. government that it could work that well. And they just figured, well, if the Russians have it, we have to have it. So it kind of came out of the Cold War. I mean, it's bizarre, huh? I mean, you think of the Cold War producing
dual
missiles.
Consciousness. Yeah, there's dual consciousness about it, too. It's like on the one hand, you have the government dissing the whole thing. And on the other hand, as you just mentioned, we have people like Joe McMonagle getting these amazing awards for all of his service and being accurate in his ability to remote view. We're close friends with Joe, by the way.
Oh, great. Well, Joe's
top
of the line.
For years.
Well, there you go. I mean, what other proof do you need? He that guy is like a living human wonder. I mean, I've met him a couple times, and we don't know how he does this, but he's not right every single time, but half his sessions are really super accurate. He could locate missing people for the Japanese
That's
police
right.
that even the Japanese
yes,
he did
that.
It from his home in Virginia. Even the Japanese police couldn't locate them, and he
and
told
he
us
them.
He told us at one of the remote viewing conferences, the App Fest run by Marty Rosenblatt. It's held in Henderson, Nevada. Joe was there. He's been there a couple times. He showed us how he does it. I mean, it doesn't help you and me to do it exactly, but he said, I zoom in from above. I see a coastline, and I get closer, and I see a town, and then I start seeing buildings, and I start seeing shapes. And maybe you can identify what the town is. Then you locate the street corner of the apartment, and then the apartment floor, and then the apartment number. That's how it's simple.
Remote. Amazing.
And if we were like an open society, we'd be wondering how he does this. But instead, like many other topics, we just decide, no, we're not going to go there. It's just too strange. I mean, we know it works, but we don't know why. So let's just not talk about it. Let's just shut it out of our science.
It's crazy. Well, we don't know how anesthesia works either, but we use it all the time. So there's something, again, as you mentioned about the paranormal, that strikes fear into people's ego consciousness. And it's a shame because we're missing out on the greatness of who we are as human beings. And Joe is certainly one of those great human beings.
Oh, yeah.
I think fear of the unknown, that we're going to fail at trying to see it, makes people back off of even trying it.
There is a lot of fear around these topics, you know. Mm-hmm. Underneath the presentation we give to society of who we are, we're afraid of being rejected by our fellow mammals. It's just obvious, mm-hmm. okay. Now, to study these subjects, you have to get to the point where you don't care anymore what people think about you. And you realize other people in history had to do that too, right? We're not the first. People had to be brave. And Galileo had to stand up for their data. There are little moons going around Jupiter, and then Venus is kind of changing light. That must mean that we revolve around the sun instead of the other way around. That was a big thing back in the 1600s, right? So you know there's people who've been very brave in the past, people who've been burnt at the stake for this, people who've died for this. So you realize you've got it kind of easy compared to them, right? The worst that could happen to you is people will think you're weird. You can't be hung anymore for this. No one's going to put you in jail. You're not going to be killed for this. You know, you're not going to go to the Salem witch trials, not far from where you are, Patricia, and where they were. And so we've got it good, guys. We've got these tools. We've got Skype. We've got internet. We can communicate with each other, and we know that reality doesn't work the way we were taught in school. It's not that the way we were taught in school is wrong. It's too limited. It's not describing the whole picture.
That's it.
There's just too much data otherwise, that there's something else going on, and it intrudes into the lives of ordinary people from time to time, and it's real. The data are there. Science is based on data and theory. We've got data, and we've got very good theories. So I don't know what the problem is and why people are afraid to engage these subjects. It's so much easier to say it's not real. I've been subscribed to Science Magazine ever since my dissertation advisor at WSU in Pullman, Washington said, Simeon, you know, every science magazine that comes out every week, there's like one or two things that are interesting to what you do, you know, technology, science, ecology. You should get a subscription. I've had a subscription since 1990, and I've read every single issue almost since then. It's a long time. It's 27 years. I have never seen any of these topics. There's a branch of the AAAS devoted towards parapsychology, I guess it's called, as it used to be. No, it's called parapsychology. They never have any articles in there because they won't. I've talked to the people in that subsection. It's a real subsection, but they can't get their articles reviewed. It's a type of censorship.
It is. Oh, for heaven's sake.
No, so Russell Targ and Hal Puthoff had an article in there before I was a subscriber in, like, I think the early 80s to describe what they were doing at SRI with Ingo Swann and Joe McMonagle and Pat Price and the other psychics, Hella Hamid, and all the great results they were getting. And they tried to describe what was going on. That was published. I think that might have been the last one. Related to, you know, ESP, whatever you would like to call it, remote viewing. I don't think there's been an article since. I've never seen one in all the years. I'd like someone to prove me wrong. So we're not talking about it. And I, you know what this is going to lead to is the dam is going to break at some point. Because you're censoring information. And, it, you know, when you censor anything, the water builds up behind the dam. Younger people are more open-minded. Eventually they'll be curious about this topic again, you know. And it, because there's lack of a response from science, it could threaten science as we know it because they refuse to talk about it. I'm
it
serious.
It could, and I think it does because I think they're starting to fall into the same kind of classification as the lamestream media and our government. They're just not to be believed because they won't take all of these things into consideration. You know, you have people from NASA saying that, oh, we may find extraterrestrial life at some point. You know, out there, it's like, we all know it's there. We all know it's here. And if you listen to people like Robert Bigelow, the billionaire who works at NASA and who was interviewed on 60 Minutes and came out and said, they're here already. They're right under our noses.
Right.
I mean, that was an incredible, incredible piece of information that came from him. Why would we listen to anybody else? We know these things are happening. We have abductees like Betty Andreasen Luca and Bob Luca. Very, very honest, credible people who come out and share this. And there's no big upside for them, believe me. They were followed by the government. They had black helicopters over their house following them wherever they went, FBI showing up at Bob's place of work. You know, it's this type of harassment has got to stop. So even though we're not being burned at the stake, people like that are being harassed every single day because of their experiences. That is simply unacceptable.
Definitely.
No, it's unacceptable. You're right.
Definitely.
We shouldn't put up with it. And we can do better than that. You should look at it as an opportunity to get to know your universe. How about that?
Sounds good.
So no one said it's easy to understand. I don't know where this fallacy showed up. This is not Occam's razor. Occam's razor didn't say the universe is ultimately easy for our conscious mind to understand, like the quote you read at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Einstein had a quote like that. Do you remember that? He said, the conscious mind is the subconscious mind is like the faithful servant, and the unconscious is like the faithful servant, and the conscious mind is kind of like the conscious mind is a servant and the unconscious is like the master. But in our society, it's been reversed, where the conscious mind, I haven't seen the quote, the conscious mind is like a bully to the unconscious. Einstein had that quote, and Alan Watts, you know, the philosopher, Zen philosopher from the 60s, we would talk about this a lot too. Mm-hmm. And this really proves it. I mean, no one ever said that you have to like the way the universe is, that it's going to totally be comfortable for your ego mind to understand. It's just what it is. And if it decides it wants to be multidimensional and intrude on your reality, sometimes through ghosts, Bigfoot, UFOs, extraterrestrials, whatever, phone calls from people who are already deceased. Mm-hmm. If it decides it's going to do that, it's going to do that. Now, I don't know why it does that. Nobody does. But that's the facts. It's the incontrovertible facts. Rather than spending all this time debunking very credible people, you know, why don't we put some energy into saying, okay, if this is all real, what is going on? We haven't quite got there yet. We just won't there as a society. So it's easier to ridicule people and harass them and make fun of them. But that's not going to move the ball down the field, right?
I
think it'd be more fun to move the ball down the field.
Absolutely.
And just get over it, especially if there are branches within our society that know about this, maybe within the government, within some sort of secret control group. I don't know. There's all these theories about who knows about this, but why don't, like Bob Bigelow did on 60 Minutes, why don't you just come out like he did very bravely and said, of course UFOs are real. And his interviewer, off top, forget her name for a second, but the interviewer said, don't you think people are going to think you're weird if you say that?
Yeah.
Right? He said, who cares?
It's real. I'm weird for all kinds of reasons
anyway. I'm a billionaire. Do you think I care? I'm a self-made billionaire. Do you think I care?
Yeah,
right. Exactly. It takes independent people like that who have no bosses to be able to speak their mind. They may not always be coherent like some presidents we know, but at least you want people that can speak their mind without worrying about the blackmail from above. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to that point in my life. I hope other people do too. I mean, who cares? I was brought up to tell the truth, okay, by my educational system, by Hampshire College, right? By my liberal education in Massachusetts, you tell the truth. You don't always know what it is, but at least you could be honest in your questions, right?
That's right.
That's how I was brought up, and I am shocked to find that it hasn't applied especially to the UFO issue and UFO contactees. We won't take them seriously. Even the highest level people in government who are contactees. Do you know there are people in our government that are afraid to, that get abducted? Nobody knows why some people get abducted and some don't. I spoke to someone recently who knew someone who was worked with the federal government pretty high up. And these people who have this experience, it doesn't matter how high your security clearance is. It could still happen to you, and nothing. No one can do anything about it.
That's right.
Nobody knows where it comes from and how they get in your room and where they're taking you. There's no protection from this. I think it's healthier to talk about it than keep denying it.
Absolutely.
I can tell you as a fact, I know people who...
We're going to take a short break.
I know people who work in the government who said the same thing I just told you, okay?
And we're going to talk about that some more because we want to hear more about people in the government being abducted. That's very interesting. But we're going to have to take a short break, and then we will come right back and continue this great conversation with the author of this wonderful book, Black Swan Ghost, Simeon Hine. Thank you so
thanks.
Much.
We all have our copy here.
Yes, we
do. Yay!
Okay,
everybody, stay tuned.
This is
Supernatural World Radio.
We will see you in a moment.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to Supernatural Girls Radio. Again, I'm your host, Patricia Baker. I am here with my co-host, Patricia Kirkman, PK, and our illustrious guest, who needs to put his headset back on. Dr. Simeon Hein. I'm going to pronounce it correctly now after I butchered it. It's a one-syllable name. I don't know how I got that wrong. But anyways, Dr. Simeon Hein is with us tonight with his great book, Black Swan Ghost. Now, we want him to talk a little bit about the title because it's an unusual title. Here he is. Okay, you joined us. Thank God. Otherwise, it would have been listening to Guy and I the rest of the show. Okay.
I was going to have to read the book again.
Yeah. I was just putting up a special discount link for the listeners.
Well, sorry. Nice. Thank you.
I mentioned this in the previous episode, Opening Minds. This was my book about remote viewing and my encounter with subtle energy sciences. And I just wanted to say, I put up a special discount link on my blog, New Crystal Mind, for a signed copy. I'll send it to anyone, you know, if you want to get a discount and signed from me. That's just what I was doing while we were in the break. And thanks for having me back. So go ahead.
That's so nice of you. Thank you. Our audience definitely appreciates that.
Yes, that's what I was doing while you saw me typing right there. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Yes.
With your new book, Black Swan Ghost, that's a very catchy name, but it's also very unusual. How did you come up with that?
Black Swan Ghosts. It's one of my favorite books. Listen, I didn't totally come up with the idea completely out of the blue. There, if you've ever read the book, The Black Swan by Nassim Taleb, he's also written books called Anti-Fragile. And what The Black Swan, he also, before that, he wrote a book called Fooled by Randomness. And what I really like about Taleb is that he says, we don't understand how things work. And the experts we have in our society give the presentation, the commentators you see on TV, people who consider themselves to be professional, you know, opinion makers and so forth. We see them on, you said, the lamestream media. Is that what you said before?
That's right.
Yes, we see them on there all the time. They give you the impression that they understand what's going on. They'll give you advice and everything. But they don't have any skin in the game. They don't – if it's wrong, there's no cost to them. So he kind of came up with this idea that we're omitting the discussion of really rare events and how they could impact our society. We like to talk about what's easy to talk about, but especially in financial analysis, we ignore really rare events. The one rare event, like what's sadly happening in Houston and Corpus Christi over the past few days.
Right. Really, you bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones. Requires activation of a new line of Xfinity Mobile. Up to 5 devices per account. New Xfinity Internet customers limited to up to 2 lines pending activation of Internet service.
Severe events that could just so far out of the bell curve, so far in the tails, that it totally shifts the discussion into we're not prepared for it, right? And it's not rare events happen more often than we expect. It's that there could be events out there that are so unexpected because we haven't talked about them, right? That they could have a disproportionately severe impact on our society precisely because we haven't talked about them. We haven't included them in our models. It happened in 2008, 2009, the financial crisis, remember? The credit crunch?
Yes, right. Yes.
The banks giving each other this kind of insurance on mortgages, but because each bank insures the next, if one goes under, they all go under, right? Because they have these interlocking financial relationships. So the system is much more fragile than it would seem. The models back then suggested that the events that we saw in 2008 wouldn't happen like maybe once every 1,000 years, right? Something like that, maybe more. And yet it happened right there in 2008. So how good are their models? They're not. They're not any good at all. They ignore the fact that things are correlated together. So when one domino falls, the next domino. Well, anyway, this idea seemed to fit UFOs a lot to me. But it's different than something like a financial crisis where we have the language to talk about it, right? And the president can hold their special meetings like Bush did and get a group together over the weekend and bail out a bank or something. We have the means to deal with it. It's in our vocabulary. Another example was here in Boulder, we had this huge flood in 2013. You probably saw it on the news, even in Massachusetts. Or,
yes. Right.
I was here, and it just didn't stop raining for a week. And the system can't handle that because we have roads. So the water doesn't go anywhere. It just channels down into your home and your cars because we invented concrete. Water loves to travel on concrete. So all of a sudden, everything's getting flooded.
Right.
You know, we've seen a little ghost of this in Texas in the past few days. But, I mean, I was here for that event, and it was amazing. I mean, just the rain didn't stop, but the system couldn't handle all that rain. Okay, we can talk about that. It's something we could believe would be real. But what about events that society officially says aren't real, but they're happening? I call those events black swan ghosts.
Oh, okay.
It's not that they're ghostly. It's just that we only see the shadow of it because maybe you read a book about it. Maybe you read Timothy Good's book, Above Top Secret, or something like that. But no one ever talked about it in college. So you put it in the back of your mind as something, maybe it's real, maybe it's not. Both of you in our listening audience could believe there could be floods, right? We've seen it on our television in the past few days. There could be super hurricanes. I mean, we had one. It's believable. If you talk to experts, they say, oh, yeah, maybe that'll happen once every so-and-so years. Here in Boulder with the flood, it was considered to be a 1 out of a 500-year event, right? Only once in 500 years. Maybe that's accurate. Maybe it isn't. But you can sort of talk about it. But how do we talk about UFO abductions? How do we talk when we have very credible people presenting evidence that objects are coming into our atmosphere and we have no control over it?
That's
do you
true.
Think the Air Force wants to talk about something over which they have no control? Does any
definitely not.
That's what we're dealing with here. Nobody wants to talk about subjects that they think are going to make them look weak or not in control or make them look bad. So we have an entire system set up that's basically covering its ass from events that might make them look weak. And the boys with the toys do not want to look weak. You won't keep paying your taxes if they say, you know, there are objects that come into our atmosphere, maybe 10, 20, 30 a night, and we can't do anything about it. And sometimes they pick people up and take them places, and it could be you. But don't worry about it. We can't do anything about it, but just don't worry. Be happy, you know. And they can't say that. So what do you do with topics like this? It used to be true with child abuse before it was considered to be real.
Yes, exactly.
Other types of abuse.
In your book. Yes, that's so true.
Yeah. So we have, and the sociologist Ron Westrum, I mean, he pointed this out at several lectures at the Society for Scientific Exploration meetings here in Boulder. It's been held in other places. It was at Yale this year, the scientific SSE meeting. He pointed this out. He called them hidden events. So the UFO topic fits within the genre of hidden events, things that are happening that are not yet officially real. And he points out that child abuse was one of those phenomena. Doctors just did not believe that parents could do that to their children. And they thought that children, if they said anything, were making it up. They had fallen out of trees. Maybe they were beaten by bullies on the way to school. But the parents would never do that to them. And it wasn't until the 1960s, you know, in the realm of our lifetimes.
Right.
Not that long ago that there was a meeting held between radiologists and pediatricians. And they compared notes and they said, you know, something's really going on here. Something's breaking these kids' bones. It's not falling out of trees. And all of a sudden, child abuse was real. It took a meeting, an official meeting.
And I remember
it's always been
also,
there, but we didn't talk.
We didn't want to accept it, like you said. We didn't want to believe it because I remember Joan Crawford's daughter when she went on Phil Donahue's show and she had written the book Mommy Dearest. And she was vilified for what she revealed about Joan Crawford and how she was a very abusive mother. I mean, it was people didn't want to hear that kind of thing.
Right.
Now,
thank God, we
have come to realize that, yes, this happens all the time, unfortunately. It's horrible, but it does happen.
It's a very good example. We can't believe that celebrities that we love on the screen, the Bill Cosbys.
Yes.
I grew up with Bill Cosby, watching him. I mean, we can't believe in the back of our mind. There are many others, right?
Yes.
That's true.
That they could be sexually abusive over and over again. There's a part of your mind that says, no, that's my childhood hero. He's a comedian. He's funny. You have to admit, even personally, the two of you, it's painful. isn't it?
It's very painful.
Considering he was the, quote, doctor, he was the family man, he was everything that we, peanut butter and honey type thing. And then you found out that we
made us laugh
that we wanted
on the
believe.
Bill Cosby show, didn't he? Over and over again. And if you're a child, you grew up with him, he was like one of your favorite. He was like this apparently harmless, funny guy that you would have no trouble inviting into your home, right? No trouble at all.
Right.
And there's a part of your mind that just does not want to accept that he was a rapist, basically, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's too hard. So what do you do with it? Well, it's not easy to come to terms with that because he's had one image in your mind, and then it's revealed in court and so forth that he's this other kind of Jekyll and Hyde person. It's the same way with some of these topics. It's very painful to admit that your government hasn't been telling you the truth, that they knew about this and they didn't want to talk about it. They created a psychological disinformation program to discredit you and or witnesses, right?
Yes.
And that's we don't like to believe that the people that we've grown up around who we trust, authority figures, could in fact have been deceiving us. I think that's very painful for a lot of people. And for me, that was one motivation to write Black Swan Ghost, is it's not just that the government's covering it up, you're covering it up. You're covering it up because when your neighbor comes to you and says, I saw something, or when I was in the military, I saw this, but I couldn't talk about it. I want to share it with you. People, these witnesses don't have anywhere to go where they can talk about this, because I've met so many of them now. They're afraid of being ridiculed. And I guess someone like me is weird enough to believe in remote viewing. They just felt safe. He's already kind of believed in that. So he'll tell, you know, and I just kept hearing these stories over and over again. Some of the best ones I couldn't even put in the book.
Really?
Because
why?
Yeah, there were four excellent cases I couldn't put. The people told me they were afraid of what could happen to them if I told their stories. So some of the most incredible encounters, government programs that seem to be going on right now, having to do with reverse engineering of the technology, things like that, they would tell me one story would be okay to put in, but not other ones. And maybe that'll become Black Swan Ghosts too someday. I would love to share some of these stories. But
yes.
Yeah, when someone tells you their story, whatever their personal story is, and they say, look, I'll tell you, but don't share it. For any variety of reasons, someone could get in trouble. People who work in that program are still there. Mm-hmm. Things like that, right? Mm-hmm. Or here's the one I heard a lot. I could lose my government pension.
Yes.
Wow.
I could lose my benefits. I've heard this. It's not just me. Yeah. I mean, I've been told by many people who are military witnesses to these phenomena, the UFO phenomena we're talking about, that they're afraid of. I don't think it's happened, but there's this fear they could lose their government benefits. Maybe they signed something in the 60s saying they would never talk about what they had seen at the base or whatever. And so there are a lot of people that are like that. And then one of the witnesses in the book told me that her dad, who was a witness to Roswell wreckage, who flew it on a plane to Wright-Patterson Base, as it's called now, it used to be called Wright Field in 1947, he was afraid of something happening to his four daughters. He had four daughters, and he didn't talk about what he saw until a week or two before he died. He called each one. She told me that he called each daughter into his hospital room one at a time to tell them that the official story we heard about Roswell wasn't true, because he had flown the wreckage to Wright Field, and it was guarded by an armed guard from the pilots, from him. Can you imagine something? These are nuclear qualified pilots. These are pilots that are qualified to fly planes with thermonuclear weapons on them. And yet this wreckage was so special and important, they guarded it from the pilots. I mean, the guard never left the wreckage. So this guy told, we don't know who he was. We haven't been able to find out. It's some another pilot, not Pappy Henderson, some other pilot who flew wreckage. There probably were a number of flights who only told his daughters about this right before he died. I mean, deathbed confession. So this is pretty serious stuff if people are that afraid that they won't talk about it.
We know people that have not only lost their job, well, not their jobs, but they were not promoted to full professors.
Right.
at universities. We've had David Jacobs on. We've had Leo Sprinkle on. And both of them have suffered setbacks in their careers as professors because they've been investigating these phenomena. Again, UFOs, hybrids, all of
Leo and David.
Punished.
I didn't know
David
Jacobs had not been promoted. Is that right?
I'm pretty sure. He also suffered something embarrassing in this regarding his career. And he's also been very, very vocal about saying that abductees have no benefit to telling anybody about their experiences. There is no benefit at all.
He was very adamant about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is so, so horrible that we haven't made room. And I'm glad you're bringing this up, Simeon, that it's us. Mm-hmm. It's up to us to change this reality. If we're looking to the government for disclosure and we're looking to the military to tell us what's real, we're looking in the wrong place, aren't we?
Absolutely right. We need to look to each other. And the people who out there who know things like this, who've had relatives from the military tell them things, parents or other relatives, we have to insist that we find out the truth about this subject. We have to insist, just like we did during the Civil Rights Movement. I'm sure you knew people who went down to the South during Freedom Summer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a teacher who went down there, and the people he went down with were killed during Freedom Summer in 1963 in Mississippi. You remember that, right?
Right.
There were civil rights workers there. He was working with them. He just chose not to go with them in the car that day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He's lucky.
They did. Yep. He would have been another person in that car who was killed by the KKK. And anyway, it's a big issue, civil rights. The people who believed in separate water fountains and segregation, like we saw in that movie, Hidden Figures, right? Wasn't that great about
NASA? Great movie.
Excellent.
Yes.
Top notch. It was real. I mean, it was in my lifetime. I wasn't, I was just a kid then. But the idea of separate water fountains now seems ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous.
Doesn't it?
To us.
It does.
And bathrooms. I mean, it's intolerable. But there were people down there that defended that way of life. We shouldn't judge them. It's just what they believed in. It's just not acceptable to those of us, well, the three of us here at least.
Yes.
And most American, I doubt very few people would want to go back to that. I can't think of anyone.
Oh, God, no.
I did talk to someone when I was working for President Obama before he was elected in 2008. I made a lot of phone calls for President Obama during his campaign. And I ended up calling thousands of people. In my state, I was the number one caller in Idaho for
God,
Obama.
You were a busy man.
I just made one or two a day. For months, and it just ended up adding up over a year. But I did talk to someone. I mean, I don't want to put this down to anyone in the South who's listening to us. I called North Carolina, and that was my one night. It was North Carolina calls, and you weren't telling them to vote for Obama. You were just saying, "Can you just vote?" We just were asking people to vote. We weren't telling them who to vote for. Just register and vote. That's all it was, because the Obama team had figured out that there were so many unregistered voters that most of them would probably go Democrat if they registered. That's all it was. So all we would say was, "Can you register to vote?" And I said where I was calling from, and this guy said, "I am not voting for Obama because of what Democrats did to desegregate the schools in the 60s. I was against desegregation, and I will not vote for any Democrat." And at least this guy was telling me the truth. That's how he really felt. He wasn't covering it up, So those people now, I believe, would be in the small minority. But there was a time when they weren't. Well, it's the same thing with this UFO issue. There's going to come a time when it's considered unacceptable for this issue to remain hidden and for people who've had these experiences to feel ashamed, afraid to tell their family and neighbors about what they've experienced, and especially afraid of government retribution.
Yes,
because it's not
real.
Your fault this happens to you.
No.
Nobody understands this. Let's just be honest. I don't think anyone understands this. Not David Jacobs or Leo Sprinkle or so many other authors out there. They will. It's the honest ones will say, we don't really know what's going on. There have been so many great researchers, right?
Yes.
And some of them are still doing it. We don't know what this phenomena is. I have my own views of it. I don't know if that's correct. But at least we could honestly say it's happening. We should describe our experiences, people who've had them. I haven't really had that many abduction experiences. The ones I've had weren't really scary. I don't even know maybe they were just dreams, but they seemed awfully real. But you shouldn't be afraid to talk about it. I wrote about it in Opening Minds, my experience. But you should feel okay about talking about it. It shouldn't be like, going back to the dark ages where we're you know, drowning people or burning them at the stake for saying they had an experience like this. Because
exactly. That's what then everybody shuts down, and then we can't get to the truth. And this is why, as you mentioned, we have to turn to each other. We have to trust each other to bring the information forward, at least within our groups,
right,
so that we can come to terms with, yes, this is happening. Of course, UFOs are coming into our atmosphere, and our military can't control it. That's how it is. Can we live with that? Can we deal with that?
I think one of the major issues is fear. People do not know how to handle fear. They either use it as a whip or they use it to hold and suppress themselves.
That's
Which
true.
Way to go? What day?
Yeah.
Depends.
No, it's true. And I was fortunate enough to go to the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure at the National Press Club in 2013.
Oh, you did. Good for you.
Yeah, I went down there. I was there for the whole 5 days. There was some amazing testimony from highly qualified pilots and people retired from the government, the military, about what they had seen. Pilots who had dogfights with UFOs, right? And it wasn't just them that saw it. The whole base saw it. One guy in Peru said 1,800 people doing military exercises saw this. They saw it on radar, and he was told to go up and shoot it down. And he couldn't because the thing absorbed all of his cannon rounds. I mean, these are big shells that are 30 millimeters wide. Each one's designed to take out a truck engine. And the thing absorbed every single one. Nothing happened to it. He saw it go in. We don't have anything like that. You know, if we did, we would have won every war we've been involved with, right?
Within a few seconds, yeah.
In a few seconds, you have armor that the shells don't hit. So highly qualified people. And I was really shocked to find out that the press, I sat next to the press section, none of them took it seriously. The one that did from the New York Times, this photographer told me, he said, this is the best stuff I've ever seen. I can't get them to send anyone from New York to cover it. New York Times photographer.
Isn't that sad?
That's horrible.
The Washington Post reporters, I gave them my card. I said, I'll explain to you any of the history of this, you know, if it's confusing. They just said, well, it's, you know, schizotypal disorder. I mean, radar doesn't have schizotypal disorder. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
They engage it. It was like child abuse. It's not happening. No.
Yeah.
You know, this Bill Cosby, he's good. I can't believe it. Was denial. You don't make progress with denial. Let's just talk about it. Again, these are obviously highly qualified people. They have no, you know, benefit to making any of this up. They don't need books or anything. They flew to Washington to tell their story.
That's right.
And they did, under oath, two retired congressmen and a senator. C-SPAN wouldn't even turn on the cameras.
Oh, dear Lord.
The National Press Club is filled with C-SPAN equipment, lights and cameras. You can see it. They can remotely turn it on. For half an hour. I've watched C-SPAN many times. I'm sure you have.
You
could just turn it on to see a former Minister of Defense from Canada talking about it, or so many other qualified people, pilots and so forth, an official from the FAA, John Callahan. These are people that you entrusted your lives to, pilots. And all of a sudden, you don't want to hear what they have to say.
It's horrible.
Right.
It's our own mental illness, I think. So we're going to take another short break, and we will be back. We have lots more to discuss with Simeon Hyde and about his new book, Black Swan Ghosts. An excellent book, everybody. Make sure you pick up a copy. It is terrific.
I'll get our copy. You should have your copy.
Yeah. I know. I've got my copy. It's right here.
It's okay, on Amazon, everybody. By the way. It's on. You can get it from Amazon.
That's right. Thank it is.
That's right, Amazon.com. All right, everybody, so stay tuned. You're listening to Supernatural Girls Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to Supernatural Girls Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Baker, and I am here with PK from Tucson, my co-host, and our tremendous guest tonight. We're enjoying him so much.
Definitely.
Simeon Hyde and Black Swan Ghosts. Very, very important.
Don't forget.
But, yes, there it is. And we've got a quick question for you from the chat room from Carrie. She says, hi, how do you find that interest in UFOs cuts across all cultures?
That's a very interesting question. It seems that all cultures have experienced this phenomena. In some way, they just have different ways of talking about it and different degrees of acceptance. Ours is a kind of a culture that resists it. There are other cultures that are a lot more open about it.
Like I understand,
in Russia,
like Peru, they accept it there. They talk about it.
Well, right.
Right.
That's what we found out from the citizen hearing is there was a whole delegation from Latin America. Peru, Uruguay, Brazil. Mm-hmm. Maybe one other country. Well, they're quite open about it there. They actually have they go into the schools. They tell the kids about it. They say, you know, there are spacemen around. Don't be afraid of them. We don't understand it, but we they have conferences where the military shows their best gun camera footage to the public in Brazil.
Wow.
The Brazilian government launched Operation Plato, Operation Saucer, when in the Amazon forest, these little lights were moving around and people were killed a couple times by these lights. They would zap them.
Uh-oh.
And they sent the military out and got pictures of it. But they didn't understand it. I don't know if anyone really does. Maybe somebody does. They're not telling us. But they're open about it. France released a lot of their documents recently. There is disclosure. It's kind of happening all the time. Britain's released a bunch of documents in the past year. And in Russia, they don't ridicule it. They accept it as real. I mean, if you listen to the Russian cosmonauts, they talk about it quite openly. You've never heard our Apollo astronauts talk about it openly. There's allegations they had to sign something.
Right.
Saying that they wouldn't talk about it when they came back, right? I'm trying to think of, obviously, Edgar Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Mitchell, I got to talk to a couple times in person, said I've talked to people who said he told them, and I don't want to be wrong about this, but I've met people who said he personally told them that he had signed something saying he wouldn't talk about ETs. That's why he never talked about it. He never said. He had said he knew people had seen it, but he hadn't seen it. So that's as far as he could go.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there's a lot of differences between how different societies react to it. And we're a society that basically denies it. There are other societies that are more open to it for a variety of cultural and religious reasons, perhaps. But it is interesting in Latin America that they don't deny it. They invite the public to comment. They have committees with military and civilians on it to try to talk about it. And we haven't got that far yet here. I mean, here we still call it a schizotypal disorder. You go to your DSM manual. The DSM manual that considered homosexuality a mental illness in 1973. We go to that. I'm not putting it down. There are people that benefit from treatment and so forth, but you could be wrong. You could be wrong by judging something by giving it a label, and it's far too easy just to label it as some sort of mental disorder. Well, how about when the whole plane sees something on the side of the window? I mean, nice. The pilot's about. Yeah. I mean,
right. What
come
does
on.
That
it's
mean?
Just, it doesn't
is that
apply
a mass
to group
hallucination.
No, it's not. And radar doesn't have a hallucination, as far as I know.
No,
right?
That's right. But it's
so
not just UFOs, Simeon. It's not just it's not just that. It's many other things that are going on. And I'm going to bring up another issue. David Paulides, and I'm sure you're familiar with his work on Missing 411, where he has done a great job of cataloging all of these missing people who have vanished into thin air. There's been strange occurrences around all of these disappearances that he's identified in his book series. And yet, the National Park Rangers, the people associated with the government with this, are all covering it up and saying, there's nothing to see here, move along. Meanwhile, people are at risk. Now, nobody knows who's taking these people. If it's ETs, if it's Bigfoot, if it's Tragon, some other creature like a Bigfoot that we've heard about, if it's the little people. Yeah, Tragons, we've heard about them. But anyways, it's people have been taken. People are in danger, and it's not from this, not necessarily from this reality. But yet, with all of this cover-up and all of this denial, I'm feeling like this is liability on their part. They know there's danger there. They refuse to talk about it, and people are being put in danger because they're not being told the truth, that there's something out there in the national parks. There's also something going on in urban areas where young men have been taken. Bodies are found weeks later, no cause of death. They can't determine how these people died. I mean, these are all mysterious things, and again, we all want to go into denial about it, but there's real danger here.
I'm afraid I can't really comment on the David Paulides work. People have mentioned it to me. I'm not familiar with it, so I can't say one way or another. But, I mean, it is true that agencies don't like to talk about things that they don't understand or can't control. I mean, I was outside Grand Teton National Park, and my dog and myself were chased by a moose. We got between a mother moose and the babies without knowing it in a campground in April.
Oh, my God.
It was a deserted campground. We were just having lunch, and we were just walking, you know, taking a walk after lunch, and there was the mama moose and the baby. We were in between them. How do you – you're in a camp. So
yikes.
My dog got chased around. I'm not trying to make light of what you're saying, but we got out of there without being killed by the moose, mama moose. She was awfully – they don't like dogs near their babies. And I went down and told the ranger station. I said, you should have a sign that there are moose in the campground. Mm-hmm. And their reaction was, this is National Forest Service, dogs kill moose all the time.
Oh,
get over it.
What?
I thought, look, you're in a campground where you pay to stay overnight, that type of thing. You should put up a sign that there's moose been around to. Just take precautions.
Be cautious, sir. Yeah,
sure. And someone pointed out to me they'd be liable if they did that. Just what you said, you used that word liability, and that may be what it is if they admit there's a danger, then they're, you know, they have to close the campground, so they'd rather put the risk on you. Now, presumably, a government agency that you pay tax dollars to provide you with parks and campgrounds should take the responsibility to make them safe, right?
You would
but
think.
But it's easier to reverse the risk and put the risk lower down. And say it's your fault. You had a dog in moose season. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But this, we see this too much.
Yeah, exactly.
They won't take their response. They mm-hmm. want to put the it's your fault. Well, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't comment on the missing people case. I mean, I just don't know enough about it.
That's understandable. But I do recommend the books to you, though. I think you'd find them fascinating, okay. Given right. your
I might get creeped out by them. I spend a lot of time
you
in parks and
definitely would get creeped out.
You may find a friend here in Canada.
But it's a well thought out series, and it is well documented. It's worth the read. So again, you know, what we're stuck with is people being tormented by whether it's agencies, federal agents, or just friends and family who don't want to believe their experience is real. Right. And so we have to work to change that. How can we change it? How can we as a society begin to work towards positive change with this?
We just have to decide that it's not acceptable to ridicule and shame people who've had this experience. We have to make it a safe environment for them to come out and share their stories. The people that I mentioned in Black Swan Ghosts, you know, so many of these people, some of them had never talked to anyone else about this before. Can you imagine? And there's some excellent stories in there.
Yes, there are.
And definitely. Some of those people, there was one guy in England that encountered a disc that landed when he was walking across the downs at night, and the friend panicked. I mean, someone got out of the flying disc, someone in a skin-tight suit, a door opened, and this being walked towards them. And, you know, this Peter, who I mentioned in there, wanted to meet this spaceman, as he called him, and his friend panicked. And they filled out forms. At the police station. See, back then there were forms in the 70s. It was okay to have a UFO sighting. See, we don't have anything like that. It should be okay to have a sighting. There should be a place where you can go to report this, not Project Blue Book, which was an effort just to – I mean, I know people that worked in Project Blue Book. I've talked to people who worked.
Hey there. I'm a glue stick, so I have one job. I glue kids' stuff. So sorry for being jealous of Geico, who does a ton more, like give you 24/7 access to thousands of licensed agents. And Geico has been around for over 75 years and has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. While I've just got mediocre adhesive skills, Geico also has an award-winning mobile app. Uh-oh, arts and crafts time. No eating the glue stick. Miss Lydia!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
It was a way to just make the public feel like someone was doing something about this, right? In the 60s and early 70s. But there's no place for people to really go. And in this book on Peter, so he gave a report to a police station. He said there was a bobby drinking his tea at 1 a.m. They'd seen this thing land, and then someone got out, and then it went back in and it took off. But then he gets these strange phone calls. The form was used to track him. The opposite. It wasn't designed to help him share what he knew. It was designed for some agency. We don't even know what this agency was. It was like some UN agency. Because he said when he went to this so-called UFO meeting, all they wanted to do was talk about his case. And that's all they talked about for 3 hours. And at the end of it, they said, what you saw was a weather balloon. Can we keep your drawings?
Please.
And he said every ethnic group was in a uniform, was in that room, about 30 men from Asia, Africa, Europe, United States. It was like this multilateral group. In the 70s, they probably are trying to find out what's going on. We have to get this above ground, and we have to insist that our government stop spending money on disinformation campaigns.
Right.
We know they did this because of Stephen Greer's recent movie, excellent movie, Unacknowledged, about unacknowledged special access programs. Mm-hmm. And he has in there a witness we haven't heard from before, I hadn't heard from before, Richard Doty, who worked in counterintelligence in the Air Force. And he said they paid journalists to make up stories about this to dull the public interest.
Yes.
To harass witnesses, he said they even dressed up in alien suits and scared people who thought they had seen something if they wanted to scare them. If they thought they got too close. Yeah, well, we're paying for this.
This is wrong.
But just, I mean,
but it's another form of bullying.
Maybe we don't know what these witnesses had seen, and maybe it was some sort of, classified program. But the bottom line is we have to insist that we stop spending money on disinformation and get the truth out about this instead of the government deliberately confusing the issue. I know that they do this because there was a woman on our crop circle tour. I have been giving crop circle tours for many years. I used to go on one with Ron Russell, and then he turned the tour over to me. And we didn't do it this year, but we've done them many years. Mm-hmm. And this woman, and she's deceased now, so I can tell you the truth. She worked in the CIA media department.
Oh, okay.
She had a Rolodex of 400 journalists she could send stories to.
Wow.
And I said, Diane, do you mean you modified their stories and you sent it back to them? Or did you make it up and they would run it? She goes, either way.
See?
I said they would just run a false story because you sent it to them. She said, of course. She didn't blink an eyelid. Of course. Well, excuse me. What do you think happens to a democracy if the news sources are polluted with disinformation and lies, deliberate lies? I can understand doing that for a very brief time in a very critical military situation. My dad landed at D-Day, okay, on Omaha Beach. In 1944, in June 6th, I believe. I can understand covering things up for that period so the Nazis didn't know when we were going to land, because it would have been a catastrophe. The whole point, you need that secrecy.
Exactly. Sure, you need that.
I get it for very limited periods of time for specific operations. You can't let people know what's going on if the government decides it's in our interest for national security. I mean, they know things we don't. Okay, I get that, but not year after year after year with this topic. And we know that the government's been very uncomfortable with this topic. Internal Air Force documents show that the government tried to find out since the 40s what's going on about this. I'm reading a book about this right now. I'll just mention it. Not my book. Just this book called It Never Happened by a guy that served as a missile launch control officer, David Schindeli, who was at the citizen hearing, by the way. That's how I knew about him. He was one of the launch control officers who were there, who talked about how these UFOs would come over the launch control facilities and all their missiles would go down, boom, 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 all at once, which was unheard of. In some cases, the launch sequences were initiated, as also happened in the USSR. There was a story in Black Swan Ghosts where I talk about a former NASA astrobiologist who knew the head of the equivalent of our nuclear regulatory agency in Russia. They handle everything nuclear, including thermonuclear missiles, who talked about a disc coming over the launch facility in Ukraine, and the missiles started to undergo their launch initiation sequence, counting down to 30 seconds or something ridiculous. Missiles pointed at us. Well, this Schindeli's book, It Never Happened, talks about his case where he was told not to talk about, as far as you're concerned, this never happened. He has to sign something that whatever he saw, he won't talk about, not even to the repair crew that come later in the day to get them. You can't tell them what happened. You've been told not to talk about it. Not to your wife, nobody. He didn't talk about it for 30 years. It cuts off communication that we need to be having I can't see any good reason. Well, anyway. The reason I like Schindeli's books and other books like this that have been written about that particular issue is we can see the Internal Air Force documents going back to the 40s they were writing back and forth to each other from Wright-Patterson to the Pentagon. Is there any government program that explains these objects? We know this is real. This is not schizotypal mental disorder. It's in the document. And their repeated response they got from the Pentagon is there is no known U.S. government program or any program we know about that explains these objects. Because the Wright-Patterson guys were the technical intelligence division. Their job is to reverse engineer, you know, other countries' planes and so forth. They're trying to figure out if they're wasting their time investigating this, if this is some sort of secret program. And they continually got the response because these documents are now declassified. This is not a U.S. government program. This is nothing we know about. We promise you. And it's nothing that we think the Russians have either, the USSR. They were not at that stage of having anything like that. They were reverse engineering B-29s at the time. It's a totally different level of technology. So we know from the internal documents, they've never been comfortable with this. We know it's real. There's no doubt.
Yes, we know.
Real. UFOs are as real as Paul Hellyer said, you know, the former Minister of Defense under Trudeau from Canada, who is a citizenry too. As he said many times, he was told by an Air Force official in the Pentagon, they're as real as planes that fly overhead. Mm-hmm. But nobody wants to talk about it. And we just have to I don't think the government's going to be able to disclose because I don't think they necessarily understand what it is, or they're afraid it would hurt their reelection, whatever motivations they have.
There's no benefit for them to tell us that. So
we're doing it right now by having this interview. We're doing it right now, and everyone's listening. We're having disclosures. This is mini disclosures. It'll happen many, many times. Let's just be honest. People are having these experiences at all levels in our society.
That's right.
They've lied for so long.
Let's not make it something to be afraid to talk about. Yeah. Right?
That's right.
And the government could help the way they did in civil rights, right? Mm-hmm. They sent out troops to support school desegregation, right? Mm-hmm. National Guards. They don't have to do that with this the same way, but they could support it in some way. Say, hey, look, we don't understand it, but it's real. So they could provide a positive tone the way other governments have done in Latin America. They could do what Latin America, you know, I have to tell you too, that somebody asked the Latin American contingent at the citizen hearing, why don't you guys just come forward and say it's real to the world? And they said, we're afraid of repercussions from the U.S. You guys are
for God's sake.
We want you to do it, and we'll talk about it more openly beyond our society.
Isn't that
China, you know, they say it's real, too. It's just nobody wants to piss off the U.S. I'm afraid it's still like...
Well, if the right things are going, they're not going to care.
But eventually they won't. I think that's one possibility. Nobody cares eventually. Like Donald Trump or not, he's a big enough bull in the China shop. He could upset this issue, and he might not care, and he might do something very positive for us. I still have hopes for this guy.
I do too.
Say, I don't care what you think. You have to tell me the truth on the President of the United States, right?
Yeah.
And he might go off script like he does and say what he really thinks. And because none of the other presidents, we know the Clintons were interested in this. It's obvious. There's enough documents going back to Lawrence Rockefeller, Project Starlight. You guys know about this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They wanted to do it, but they couldn't.
Well, the Clintons were not briefed the same way as other presidents either. They weren't trusted. But who knows? Like you said, maybe we'll hear about it from a tweet from Trump. Wouldn't that be cool?
That's right.
But here's another question.
He will accidentally do something like that.
Yeah, he might. Yeah. Here's a question for you, Simeon. You know, one of the things that has come up over and over again in interviews that we've done on the subject is that the government may have probably made a deal with certain alien races, allowing them to abduct a certain amount of people, which they then said got very much out of hand and they had no way to control it. So these extraterrestrial races were just taking people whenever they felt like it and many more than what they agreed to do. So if that is true, I can see where our government wouldn't want people to know about that they sold us out.
Right. Those are the types of stories we hear, and we don't have enough information to know if it's true or not. That's why we need to open this up and talk about it. Is it true or not? We've heard this. I don't know. I haven't seen the evidence to convince me that they have or they haven't. It's in the gray zone. What do they know about this subject, you know? That's what we need to find out. I mean, who in the government studies this? Does no one study this like we're told? You know, Obama said that there's nothing happened at Roswell. Remember he was on one of the late night TV shows?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Who was it? Late night with so-and-so. They asked him, and he said, well, you know, he made fun of it. They always make fun of it.
Yeah, he did. They always make fun. I hate that.
And Hillary Clinton didn't, she actually, when she was on this show, I'm sure you know what show,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But she actually said that these things are real. She said they're now called unidentified aerial phenomena.
Right.
She had been prepped by her advisor, you know, to talk about this. And they never went back to her point. She was actually bringing it up, and they should have pursued it. I mean, it's going to take courage, right?
Yes.
Now, if there's one thing we have in abundance as Americans, we have courage. I would like to believe that, you know?
True.
I think of someone like my dad who landed at D-Day facing German machine guns. He was a refugee from Nazi Germany. He couldn't wait to join the U.S. Army when he was 18 and go back and kick some butt, right? He's pissed. Yeah. I mean, he got kicked out of his own society by the Nazis. Well, that's real courage, is you step out and you know you could die, but you know it's the right thing to do. And we need to have that type of courage. It's not that extreme. It's not that situation again, but you have to have the courage to stand up and say, I don't care what the lamestream media are going to say. I don't care what they're going to say to me and what they're going to label me as. I'm going to tell the truth about what I saw. Mm-hmm. Like the people who came forward to me in Black Swan Ghosts. I so appreciate those witnesses because they had the guts to sit with me for an hour or two and let me videotape them, tell me their stories, and give me permission to put them in a book. Some of them were still afraid. I took a year to get permission to put those stories in the book.
Wow.
Some of the stories have never been told before, like the jets that got, they had an encounter with a UFO over Lake Michigan in the 60s. I mean, this guy was there when he heard his dad talking about it on the phone from Finland, one of the Air Force bases that were there. And he wasn't sure he should talk about this because it had never been publicly disclosed. We don't know what the widows were told, but the pilots disappeared. The planes were found, but the pilots were never found.
No pilots.
The pilots left both their engines simultaneously when they attempted to pursue this object. Now, how many times has this happened and we weren't told?
Yeah, and we don't really allow this to come out. And unfortunately, we've run out of time. And you've been such a wonderful guest, Simeon. My God,
this is it. I thought we were having more time. Just about it.
No, but everybody, look, you got to get the book. It is terrific. Okay, Black Swan
Ghost.
Yes,
we have it. You have to have it. And you want to go to get my other book.
Right.
Opening Minds.
Got to order that
from me personally, so I can sign a copy and send it to you. It's on, if you go to the Supernatural Girls post on my blog, New Crystal Mind, you'll see a link for it.
So. Oh, that's terrific, Simeon. Thank you so much. And please,
thanks
you
a lot, guys.
You'll come back.
Yeah, let's do it again. We've just started with this topic. So.
I know. Good. We have so much to discuss with you. You're a wonderful, wonderful representative of the paranormal community. And believe me, we appreciate your book and what you're trying to do. And we stand behind you. So if anybody wants to contact you, how can they do it?
Oh, easy. Just go to simeonhine.com and click contact. And
all
I will
right.
get there.
Message maybe you they have a story to tell you for your next book.
I'd be happy to.
That would be great. Okay. Well, look, everybody, next week we're back with the cauldron. We've got live witchcraft going on. That's next week. And until then, we'll see you on the Blue Highway. Good night, everybody.
Good night.